Hi everyone. First of all, Karen and I would like to apologize for the long absence. From this episode, you'll get a glimpse of why we've been away, and much of it has to do with work. Please note that while this episode just dropped, it was recorded back in October, which was 10 months ago. Once again, apologies for not completing the edits sooner. Karen and I have tried our best to win the lottery so we can make this our full-time job, but we haven't been that fortunate. Thank you for your patience and continuing to catch up with us by listening to our podcast. We appreciate you more than you know. We hope you enjoy this episode. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Chris. I missed you.
I know. How are you? I've missed you so much. It's been ages.
Yeah, it's been ages since we had a proper conversation. We've been texting, I know.
Yeah.
But it's not the same, right?
Yes. And you've been quiet. Well, you know that I've had the shingles. Boy, I was underestimating what that was like. I didn't realize how painful and excruciating it was. I suffered a lot of nerve pain even after the rashes were clear. It still was so painful. I can't sit still. I can't do anything. And then after several weeks of that, I had the flu and I might cough every once in a while. And now you can see that I've got conjunctivitis.
Conjunctivitis, I think you're right. Yes. Something.
I'm a one-eyed Chris today. So, yes, I haven't been well enough to catch up and do recordings, much less do editing. So I apologize for that.
Okay, so you had the shingles.
Yes.
And then you had the flu.
Yes.
And then you have this eye issue.
Yes.
Man, I mean, come on.
I feel like I should name myself Karen because I feel like I'm empathizing when you said that it just keeps piling up one on top of the other. My health issues.
Yeah. And then the funny thing is, it's really seriously a medical condition. You really have something that makes you tired, that you're kind of knocked out. You can't do anything. You get one, fine. Then you get the next one. Then you get the third one. You get to a point where you're just laughing. You're thinking, oh my God.
Yes. That's why I took that photo of myself this morning and I sent it to you with my eyes shut. I couldn't really open it when I woke up this morning. I'm like, oh my God, what is wrong with me? I mean, not to diminish what you've gone through, you're Karen, not. But, you know, I'm just trying to find this all amusing.
It gets to a point where it's amusing. And
yes,
in no way is it diminishing whatever I've gone through and whatever you're going through. The good news is, after I've laughed at it because I went through it,
yes,
you actually realize we can laugh through this.
Yes.
Yes, you can cry through it, yes. Because you will. Especially, I've never had shingles and I've just been hearing about how horribly painful it is.
Well, good for you that you've heard that. I never heard that.
That's why it was a big thing when the doctor was telling me, you got to get your shingles shot. And it's a series of two shots. And I think you have to wait 3 months or 5 weeks or.
Yeah, for the first shot in my case, I have to wait 12 months after I had shingles to get the shot. And I would not want to get it again. Never, please. It's really way worse than chickenpox.
Yeah. I'm not glad that you got it, but I'm going to take advantage of the fact that I know someone that I'm quite close to who's gotten it, so I can ask questions and I won't feel like I'm crying.
Yes.
So is it, I mean, what kind of pain is it? Is it the pain only when you have the rash? Is it only on the part where you have the rash?
Yes, it's only on the area where you have the rash. The pain comes first before the rash, which was really quite weird. So I was playing golf and I felt back pains. And it was very niggly. Mm-hmm. I thought it was because maybe I gained weight. So that's why I'm having back pains again. Maybe because my swing was bad. But I feel like I was somehow going to collapse because of the pain. And then after a couple of days, probably even 4 days, the rashes started appearing. Now, when I was having back pains, I
used a magnesium spray for my back pain. I thought the rashes were a result of the magnesium spray, that I had a reaction to it. Maybe I was allergic to it or what have you. So I thought, well, I shouldn't have used that. I went to the chemist, which is our drugstore or pharmacy, and I asked the pharmacist, do you have any suggestion on what I can apply on my rashes? And then I showed the lady my rashes. And she was thrown back and said,
she got scared.
Oh, I think you better go to your GP. That's quite a lot. So
I wonder what she was thinking. I wish I could ask her.
She's probably thinking, these people are so naive to think that we can actually diagnose them and prescribe them medication. We are pharmacists. We are not doctors. That's probably what she's thinking. But anyway, so I went to the doctor immediately that night. I'm glad that the GP's clinic was open until 8 o'clock that night. So my husband took me there. The doctor immediately said, ah, that's shingles. And then he took a swab and then they did the test. And then the following day he rang me and he said, yes, it's confirmed. It's shingles. Yes, the pain, the nerve pain is coming from the same area. So I don't know how to describe it. It's very niggly and prickly, but very, very intense.
Is it localized? Just one area?
Yes, it's localized in that area. Yeah.
And it's not superficial?
No.
You felt it coming from within?
Yes, it's coming from within.
Is it like a muscle? I mean, did your muscles feel sore? Did it feel that way?
Yes. Yes. Everything. All sorts of pain, whether it's muscle pain. It felt like a combination of muscle pain. And I don't know how else to describe nerve pain. Is it like when you have a headache, that intensity of pain? But it's hard to imagine a headache applied to your muscles. But it's painful.
Yeah. Once it's a nerve pain, the way I imagine it, it's just like it's screaming, you know, like like all the sirens, you know, having that alarm.
I think it's because the nerves are inflamed. That's probably why there's also rashes, and the rashes are like watery blisters. Oh, yeah. And I had to take medication for nerve pain, for antiviral, and then also anti-inflammatory. It helped, but it didn't eliminate the pain completely. So it's just still there.
So is the nerve medicine, does it, how I imagine it, and I'm probably wrong, but this is just how I'm imagining it. It's telling your nerves not to feel anything.
It probably is telling the nerve not to send signals to the brain.
So then that...
Or the brain not to send signals to the
wherever.
Nerve that it's painful.
Yeah. So...
Whoever initiates the communication.
So when you have that nerve pain, did it affect how your day was? Because then I imagine how you get up, how you think.
Well, yes, in a way, because I couldn't do anything. I couldn't sit still. I felt like I needed to just lie down in a specific position so that I don't feel as much pain. So most of the day I was just sitting down on the recliner chair and watching TV. And I was in so much pain that I felt sorry for myself. I didn't want to do anything else and think about anything else. And as you know, I've been looking for a job and I've talked a bit about this for quite some time now. So my full-time job these days is to look for a job. So that made me feel really bad that I couldn't do anything. But I thought, I did a good job of taking care of my mental health and just not worry and just focus on the moment and making sure that I recover from this. And speaking of looking for a job, what I wanted to talk to you about today is somehow related to that and update you on my progress and, of course, consequently, how I've been feeling about what's been happening. We've talked about in the past that I've been off work for a little over 2 years now, I think, but I officially left my job early last year. And the circumstances that I left my last job was also the catalyst for my mental health issues more recently and prompted me to go to hospital, focus on recovering from my health issues. When I thought I was ready to start working again, that's when I started applying for jobs. But it's been quite some time now since I started looking. And I felt like I haven't been successful at first, even in getting a first interview. And then later on, not getting a second interview. And then more recently, fortunately, I had a lot of job interviews that moved on to a second interview. And yet, despite the good feedback and knowing that the hiring manager really liked me, I could tell that they wanted to hire me. Somehow it falls over and they choose a different candidate, and they would always say it was so close. The reasons are not because you weren't good enough. You were really great. In fact, we don't have any constructive feedback to give you because we thought you did really great. We just thought that there was a better fit with the other candidate, or you were so impressive, but we had to take a step back and think about what do we really need for this role. Sometimes I feel like they say that because maybe I'm overqualified for the role, and one or two have actually verbalized that. Or maybe that's a way of them saying I'm too expensive and the other person is more affordable. I don't know. And the last interview that I had, it went really well, the first interview with the hiring manager and the incumbent. It was more like a team discussion and exchanging of ideas, what we've done. They were asking questions about how do you solve things like this when someone comes up to you and says, this is the problem. And it was genuinely them asking for recommendations rather than testing your capability. So it was a very robust, freewheeling discussion, and to the point that they were already talking about handover. So I thought I really had that job. There was another interview after that with a principal and another person that leads the team that works closely with this role, but it's of the same rank. After that second interview, when they got back to me, they said the same thing, nothing really negative to say about you. And the one reason that they gave when I asked for advice on, well, how do you think I should have responded to a question like that? The answer that they gave me was exactly the answer that I gave them. So that was a bit confusing because I feel like, well, that then now that makes your basis for not choosing me unfounded. And that really threw me into a deep, dark hole because I really was desperate to get a job. As I don't know if you've heard, there is a cost of living crisis in Australia right now.
Yeah, I was just reading about that. And actually, I meant to ask you about it because I just don't hear or read much about Australia when it comes to hardships.
Yes.
So I imagine either because it's just the United States news I'm getting, or it's a rarity.
It is a rarity, yes. So it is quite a big deal. This might be an exaggeration. In the last 12 months, they've increased interest rate probably at least 6 times or 8 times. I don't know. Several times. But let me give you an idea. My mortgage payment, now I'm paying probably $1,500 more a month.
Wow. I mean, in what time span did it go up?
Less than a year.
Wow. I can't even say wow because there's no,
yes,
there's no sound coming out.
Yeah, that's how bad it is. So anyway, I had to shift to a fixed rate from a variable rate because it went as high as 7%. It probably started out at 4% or less than 4%. I can't remember. I never had to worry about these things because I was lucky enough
to have a job.
Have a job. Yeah.
Yeah.
But of course, more recently, that has become a source of stress for me. And with a single income, of course, that imposes a lot of stress, not just on me, but also on my husband. So when I didn't get that job, that really got to me. Interesting enough, when I was told that I did not get that job, the HR person said that the hiring manager was so disappointed that she wanted to have a meeting with me. I didn't know what to make of that because, well, you didn't give me the job, so why would you possibly want to meet with me? But of course, that was very gracious of her, and I really appreciate that. That means I really made an impact on her. So we met a week later over video conferencing, and she was really lovely. I could tell that she was really disappointed that I didn't get the role. She said that if there's anything that she can do to help, if there is someone in her network of friends that might be hiring on LinkedIn, posting advertisements for jobs, then feel free to reach out to her and message her for anything that she can help with. She even gave the feedback to the HR manager that she thought I was so good that she could see me doing her job. True, that was the same type of role that I had before I left my previous employer. So that was really nice of her. It left me very confused, but I still appreciated it. gave me a little bit of boost of self-esteem, but still didn't stop me from feeling sad, questioning why. Why is this happening? It feels like there is some force in the universe that's just manipulating my future and saying, no, this is not the job for you. No, you're not supposed to be in there. No, that's not the right path for you. And then around the same time, I got a message on LinkedIn from a previous employer. So my very first employer in Australia way back in 2006. This lady heads up the leadership team of the division I used to work in. She said, "Hi, Chris, I heard that you are currently out in the market looking for a job. I would like to understand what type of role you're looking for, if you don't mind having a catch up over coffee." So, of course, I said, yes. I was bedridden at the time with the flu, so I had to schedule that a week later. 2 hours after we agreed to catch up over coffee, I got another message from their HR head asking for the same thing. And then the following day, I got another message from a lady that works there that I'm still friends with and said, "I heard that you were looking for a job and we might have some roles here for you. Would you like to send me your CV?" That was a boost in self-esteem, which was really what I needed at that time after not getting that other job I applied for. That employer is a research agency. More recently, I have been working for big enterprises, client side. I haven't been really applying for work in the agency side because I felt like I've already done that. I've been there. It'll be a step back for me if I go back there. I prefer the role of being in a client side and perceived as a trusted advisor among stakeholders across different function groups rather than being just a research provider from the agency side. So that was where I was coming from. But at this point, of course, like I said, cost of living crisis, you know, need the money. So I met up with her. And when the lady who hired me in that company back in 2006 heard that she was meeting with me, this other lady invited herself to the meeting because she wanted to see me. So that was really, really, really nice. So I caught up with both of them. They practically offered me a job.
Right there.
Yes, during that catch up. Asked me how much my salary expectations were. As soon as I got home, she immediately rang me back to get the ball rolling on salary negotiation. So as soon as we agreed on a package, she said, "I want you to meet with the CEO," who of course I've already met when I was working there and I've worked with directly. My first meeting was on a Wednesday last week, and then met with the CEO on Friday. And then in that meeting, they said, "Great, can you start on Tuesday?" So now all of a sudden I've got a job on Tuesday, and they were even very gracious enough to offer a transition because they know that I've had health issues, which was the reason why I left my last role. They said, "To help with the transition, how about you start with a part-time schedule?" So I'm starting 3 days a week on the first 2 weeks, and then 4 days a week until the end of the year, and then full-time by January. So I thought that was really very gracious. So that's a very detailed update, Karen. I know. Thank you for indulging me and for your patience listening all through that.
Oh, and I have questions.
Okay, let's do the Q&A first.
Do you feel like you're jumping up and down with joy with this?
That is actually a very appropriate question because what I wanted to talk to you about was as soon as it was certain that I had the job starting on Tuesday, there was this overwhelming sadness that I felt on the way home from meeting the CEO in the train and then in the car and then at home. I couldn't celebrate. I didn't feel happy at all. All I felt was overwhelming sadness.
Do you feel like you're settling?
Yes, absolutely.
Is it because of the nature of the position or something else? Maybe financial or...
Well, financially, I definitely got to a place in the negotiations where it was good.
It was good for you, right? It's what you wanted.
Yes, it's a good package. It's comparable to what I was receiving back when I was in my previous employer, minus the incentives, but that doesn't matter to me at this point. On the other hand, there are reasons why I left that company years ago, and I wanted to make sure that those reasons were no longer present, and I couldn't guarantee that. One of them was probably a deal breaker, not all of them. But I think one striking reason was the role that they offered me was the same role that I was doing before I left, but it had a different title. So it was heading a portfolio of clients in two industries. Pretty much the responsibilities are the same, but the rank is higher.
Just a new title.
It's not necessarily a new title, because I've always wondered when I was working there why they never gave me that rank when I actually have experience and I contributed a lot to that team. I even managed to grow that portfolio by more than 60% during the global financial crisis. So I'm just giving all of this background information just to get some rationalization as to why I probably felt this overwhelming sadness. I felt like I'm going back to a role that I did 13 years ago. Sure, they're giving me a higher rank and way more pay, but is this really the right role for me at this point or at this stage in my career? And then as I was processing my emotions and thinking about where is this sadness coming from, I kind of feel like there is a little bit of shame associated with it. Shame that I'm a failure, that I couldn't get a job that is comparable or equivalent to where I was at before I stopped working, and I'm not good enough. That's why I'm only good enough for a role that I did 13 years ago.
Because
that's where my capabilities lie.
Well, surely though, they don't think so because they offered you the package that you wanted. The package that what you know you're worth. You gave them your price and they pretty much said, okay. There was back and forth. There was a nitty gritty in between, but pretty much it's what you're happy with.
Yes. They also gave me the feedback that they went around the company asking people I've worked with years ago about me and my performance when I was there. And everyone had great things to say about me. Not just good things, great things to say about me. Not a single negative thing. In fact, the hiring manager said she was reluctant to talk to the last boss that I had because she knew that that guy did not have anything good to say about anyone. But she eventually asked him for feedback and he gave glowing feedback about my performance. So the feedback that she got about me and my performance were really very consistently great. So I should really view that as a positive, not a reflection of failure, but more as a reflection of my work ethics and how good I am. And yet there's still this feeling of shame.
And unworthiness.
And unworthiness of a role or a kind of job that I really would like to have.
If you spin it a different way, I don't see it as going back. From there, you took steps forward, many steps forward, where you ended up in different firms, different roles. And in your step forward, they just happened to be there again sometime in the future. There wasn't any part in your career life where you said, I'm going to go back and step back. You just kept moving forward and they just happened to be there.
Yeah.
But the way you thought about that is that you're going backwards.
Yes.
I think you only go backwards when you intentionally go backwards. Maybe that's how I cope and that's how I think. I don't think you were going backwards because you never intended to go backwards. You just kept moving forward, one foot in front of the other, going forward.
Yeah.
Plus, I really think when something good happens, you don't feel worthy of it. And when something bad happens, you always think you deserve it.
Yes. And that's kind of where my headspace was at when I wasn't making any progress with my job applications. I felt like, is this a punishment for what happened in my last role? Is this a way to tell me that I don't deserve a good role because I did something bad and I'm a bad person? And somehow then that causes guilt on top of shame, questioning whether I really did such a bad thing that I don't deserve anything good or a good enough role in the future.
Yeah.
That the only job I can get is really a role that requires me to take a step back.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, I'm very grateful. I'm really, really very grateful.
I know. But then you're grateful for like 5 minutes and you're happy and you're on a high. And then you come down and you realize, wait, they must have made a mistake. They probably don't know. They're going to see that I'm really not that perfect. And then that's when the poop is going to hit the fan.
Oh, come on. Say it. You're such a goody two-shoes. Just say it.
And then you think, eventually, you know, that poop is going to hit the fan and they're going to know the real me and it's going to be where I am again. I'm going to tell you that's not how it is, but of course, it's your journey and you will have to figure it out. Now, the good thing is you're not alone in your journey because you do have your support system who's going to listen to you and just say, yep, yep, yep. and listening to you and knowing you, of course. It's not just I'm coming in and telling someone, oh, this is your problem. And it's not even a problem. But it's just who you are. That I know it's just, at the end of the day, it's your worthiness.
And it's interesting you say that I might have doubts that I'm worthy of this position. Ironically, I was thinking, no, I'm too good for this role because I've already done this 13 years ago quite well, really, really well. It should be an easy job for me to go back into.
Well, it's not you doing the job. It's what they think of you. It's what you think they think of you.
Which was manifested by the statement that the hiring manager gave when she said, I have very high expectations of you. And she kept repeating that.
Yeah. That.
And at some point, I actually verbalized this. I said, well, I hope you're not just saying that because of the amount you're paying me. I hope it's based on my credentials rather than how much you're paying me. Because it was admittedly higher than what they would probably normally pay. I don't know. But anyway.
Well, they are hiring a different person, right? You're not the same person that they hired back in 2006. It's a fact you do know more and you have more experiences than you had back then. So,
and yet, for some reason, it still made me feel like, okay, well, now I'm questioning myself. Initially, I felt very confident I can do this job with my eyes closed. But with you constantly saying you have high expectations of me, now I'm starting to doubt myself. Am I going to measure up?
Oh, of course you will measure up.
Have I set up your expectations too high? Because now that I've achieved so much more since I've left here, you expect me to perform miracles? So all of these...
I think you will exceed their expectations. Well, I know you
will. You're really such a great friend. So
I know you will, but I know you will.
All of these emotions are now piling up, and at the core of it is shame and resentment. I'm so sorry. I know I'm grateful. I'm really grateful. Please do not take it against me that I'm saying these things.
And then you feel guilty for being ungrateful, right?
I'm sorry. I'm feeling guilty for actually saying how I feel because I might be perceived as being ungrateful. And so, yes, feeling guilty for being, but I'm not ungrateful.
I know. Yeah.
I'm grateful. I'm just feeling guilty about saying all of these emotions when I should be grateful. The underlying emotion is shame and resentment that I'm being told that there are high expectations from me. When from my end, I feel like, well, I'm actually taking a step back. So how dare you have high expectations of me when I know for sure I'm going to smash this job?
Well, that's a good thing, I think. I think it's good to have that fire in your belly. I need that fire. I need to have more fire in my belly, like that kind of fire, because...
I just feel guilty saying that.
I think women in general, especially... in our group of friends, and the reason why I say it in our group of friends is because we grew up together, so we heard the same things, you know, of how we should be.
Yeah.
And it's amazing in school. We all went to school together.
Yeah.
And we're encouraged to question, to do well. And yet, as you're growing up, the society is, you know, even in our generation, the same position for a man and a woman, we get paid way less, even though we're doing the same amount of things.
Yes.
So even then, we are set up to think that we're still less worthy.
Yeah.
And I have to struggle with that too, that I'm worthy, even when I have to do my self-evaluation at work.
Yes.
I can talk big. I can talk big. I can talk to you and tell you, yeah, we're worthy. We do all these things. We deserve it. But actually, when I have to sit down and make it official, as to what am I really worth.
And why I'm great. And these are the things that I have
accomplished. Yes, and why I'm great. I can joke about it and tell them, oh my God, I'm perfect. I'm this, I'm that. But when I actually have to write it down and say, well, I deserve this and I think you should pay me more, or this is what I've accomplished, I always have a hard time doing that.
Yes, and it also doesn't help that we come from a culture where, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the 300 years of colonization by white people.
Of course it is. Of course it is.
We have this culture of, you know, be grateful for what's being handed down to you.
Of course it is.
No matter what it is.
You know?
And, you know, my sister-in-law, who is of the same heritage, when I updated them that I have this job and this is how I got the role, they offered me this job. And she was like, well, you know, this time just be grateful and just put your head down and just do the work and don't complain. Or, you know, it was like, just shut up and work. That's actually the opposite of the advice that I get from my psychologist.
Yes.
This is now going to be a bit more showing a bit more vulnerability and a bit more revealing. But I think it's important for me to say this just to give a clearer picture of where I am at and my headspace is at. In the past, especially in episode one, if you recall in episode one, I felt like I was being resented for my excellence whenever I demonstrate leadership and excellence. And my psychologist has said, maybe because you're too nice, when they first meet you, they think you're this amiable person. And when you are demonstrating assertiveness and leadership and excellence, instead of perceiving that as just appropriate, they see it as it's so not like you. Therefore, it's a bad thing because it's way in the opposite side of the spectrum. So when you go into a job, you should be your normal self instead of being too friendly or too amiable or too
yielding. Too.
Yes, that's the word, too yielding. Just be your normal self and be your normal assertive self instead of being timid. And our culture of thank you for giving me a job. Oh, yes, I'm very, very grateful. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. You know, very submissive and accommodating and
just not assertive, period.
Just not assertive.
Even if we think it's okay, even if we don't believe in it and they ask us, what do you think? We're just going to go with the flow because we don't want to rock the boat.
Yes. Or we're just so agreeable, I think that's the right word.
Yeah.
Very agreeable, even when we don't agree and we have a better perspective of things. And when my sister-in-law said that, I felt like, no, that is exactly why I get into trouble.
Yeah, this is why.
Because I'm always agreeable.
This is why we have a podcast.
Yes. You know, always agreeable because I'm always, oh, you know, thank you, grateful. Then people walk all over me. And then when I start standing up for myself, I'm the bad guy.
Yeah, that's the story of a woman's life. And then add to that, that you're a woman of color. We have a different accent.
Yeah.
And many, I'm not to say everybody, there are many who associate or who for some reason think that just because you have an accent, then you're stupid. Or they know more than you, or you don't know anything.
Yes.
Yeah, it piles on. And I know it's a daily battle and we go, you make it. I mean, you've gotten up in your career, but still, eventually you hear it enough. So you start to think about it and even say, well, maybe they're right. In your moment of rebelliousness, you can say they are so wrong. But then you go back to that meek and mild and say,
yes.
Oh my God, I think they're right. I think they're right.
Or maybe I shouldn't upset people. Maybe I shouldn't rock the boat, even if I don't agree.
And you think about it, it's their problem. If they get upset, they shouldn't be upset. If you're just voicing an opinion, your point of view, because it's really not a judgment on them.
Yeah.
And we have to remember this too. Put this to heart more than thinking they're judging us. Because before they judge us, I think we're judging ourselves. And it's a harsher judgment than anybody else.
Yeah.
If you want to voice your opinions, your point of view, there's really nothing wrong with that. It's okay to do that. Now, we're not going to please everybody. Someone will be offended. Others will be grateful because they'll also hear a different way of thinking.
Mm.
So, I guess we just trudge on.
Yeah.
But it's hard to just put your boots on and say, all right, I'm going to do it.
And I think the first step in dealing this with this emotion, and especially this shame I've been talking about, is to accept that it is there. And I'm glad I have someone like you that I can talk to and be vulnerable with and actually say, I'm feeling this great shame. And even saying it makes me feel ashamed.
Ashamed, more ashamed. And sometimes, even if you don't say it,
guilty,
you just think about it and you don't even want to go there in your mind because you're already feeling ashamed, just letting your mind go a little bit, like even two or three sentences in that thought. Yeah. You're already cringing, like, no, I'm not going to think about this because it's a shameful thought.
Yeah, because that's the human spontaneous reaction, where when you feel ashamed, you don't want to think about it. You don't want to accept it. You just want to put it aside, try to forget about it and not deal with it.
But it won't leave you alone. So you're ashamed the whole day.
Exactly. Yes. So that's why I think I'm giving myself a pat on the back for actually being able to verbalize this and say this to you.
Yes.
And you're the only person I've divulged these feelings to. And I'm so glad you're there to just hear me out and not judge me.
Yes, I agree with that. Verbalizing it, because then you've put it out there.
So I think that's a good first step.
You've put it out there and told someone, really, this is my thought.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a sinful thought. You know, we're raised Catholic.
Yes. And since I don't know how to deal with it, quite frankly,
I don't know what to tell you how to deal with it.
I'm just going to ride it out. I'm just going to ride out this emotion and just, okay, you want to be there? You shame? Okay, you stay there as long as you want. I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing and go about my day.
But I think that's all you can do, right? And then eventually you'll get inspiration and validation along the way that will eventually make this not that much of a big deal, and you'll find something else that's a bigger deal.
Yeah.
But congratulations. Congratulations on the job, whether you feel ashamed of it or not.
Thank you. Having said that, I don't want people to mistake that I'm going to let shame rule over my actions or my behavior. No, despite allowing myself to ride out that emotion of shame, I'm still going to make sure that when I walk into that office and start doing the job, I'm going to do a great job and make sure that I smash it out of the ballpark. I will not let resentment or shame rule over how I behave and feel like I'm privileged. Because like I said, I am grateful. I'm grateful for this job.
I can see how, because it's a conscious effort, right? You are making the statement that I'm going to do a great job. I've got this. Whatever is weighing down on me today, but I'm going to get up and say, I've got this. You can say that today and tomorrow could be different. So you have to keep reinforcing that every day. If we make a decision, today is going to be a good day. I'm going to kick ass. And then when you wake up tomorrow, I'm going to kick ass. So do you have a plan for that? You might not, but I'm just curious if you do.
Well, in my head, I already made out a plan on how I'm going to approach this job. What are the things that I need to do to familiarize myself with this portfolio, these two industries, because they're different from the industries that I've been in the last 5 years. So I need to do certain things to catch up on what's happening in those two industries. So I already made out a plan in my head to make sure that I perform well in this role. What are the activities I need to do in the first few weeks? What are the things that I can contribute in terms of what are the products? Are there any enhancements that are needed based on my skills and knowledge of how to make a program more effective? And also from what I know about the industry, how we can keep up with what's happening in the industry and address the demands of the clients in those industries. So in my head, I already mapped out a plan of how to go about it. So I know I'm taking this job seriously. And on top of that, I need to always remind myself that this is not a punishment of what has happened in the past. This is a good thing. This may even be what I need today to transition back into the workforce and maybe the kind of environment I need that will allow me to be myself again.
Yeah. And I think it's great that they're not having you really dive right in and just start swimming. They're kind of letting you get in and wait a little bit.
Yeah.
It's kind of, they're acclimating you to the water temperature.
Yes.
Not just saying, okay.
Yeah. And it was good that that came from the CEO herself and not just the hiring manager. So that was really good. That was a plus for me. Because if the CEO, being a woman, behaved the same way that, you know, in episode one, when I talked about my previous boss there, if she had behaved the same way, then that would have been a deal breaker for me. So I'm very grateful. Can't say it enough. Really very grateful about the circumstances.
Well, I'm really, really excited for this new opportunity for you. I mean, I'm really, really excited.
Thank you.
When you sent me the text, I was celebrating with you. Girl, when I see you, we're going to celebrate.
Yes, thank you.
That my next big trip, I have a big trip coming up, as you know, but the one after that, my next big trip after that will be to see you there. We'll be recording side by side. We're not going to be...
Yes! I'll be looking forward to that. And thank you so much for always being there for me and listening to every detail of my update and understanding
every
detail of my fluctuating emotions and without judgment.
Of course. It's almost like, I almost feel like you should stop saying it because you're making me embarrassed. You really are. Like, isn't that what we're supposed to do?
Yeah.
That's what friends are for. We're actually more than friends. We're sisters.
Yes, yes. I feel that.
You know, it's really scary. You have known me longer than I have known my spouse, even my own son.
Yes.
You have known me longer than my son has known me.
That's true.
So, yeah, that's what friends are for. That's one of the... I mean, for mental health, really, that's the most important thing, that you have your tribe with you.
Yes.
You know, you have your group of family. Family doesn't necessarily mean it's blood. Family is who supports you unconditionally and loves you unconditionally.
Yeah.
They're just there no matter what the circumstance. You can try to tell them to leave. You can yell, you can scream, but they can see through you and say, yeah, this is a phase. Because there are those people, when they tell you to leave, you're like, yes, yes, please run away from them. But there are certain people where, you know.
Yes.
You know their heart is better than that.
Yeah.
So I am so happy for you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm happy for myself too. I am happy for myself too. There, that's with more conviction.
Yes, you gotta keep saying that. I know in a perfect world, we're gonna be ending this recording and say, and she lived happily ever after.
There's no such thing.
There's no such thing. So that's okay too. That's okay too.
Yeah, yeah. And at least I'm stepping into something familiar. So it's a good transition back into the workforce.
That's even better. Yeah. Because then it will be like a little less pressure, you know, especially you haven't been in the workforce for 2.5 years.
Yeah.
Or just a little.
Yeah. 2 years and a month, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. 2 years and a month.
Yeah. Wow, it's been that long.
Yeah. So I'm really happy. That's why I couldn't, I don't know, I might have woken you up that day because I called you so early just to.
No, I was already awake and I was so glad you rang me.
Just so to congratulate you.
I needed that conversation.
Yeah. And I needed this conversation. I'm so happy to talk to you today.
Me too. Thank you. I'm so glad we finally got another recording. So I'm looking forward to getting this out there. And thanks.
Love you, friend.
Love you too. And thank you so much to all our listeners. I can see that our listener base is still growing despite not having any new episodes. So thank you very much for bearing with us.
And we'll have a little more.
Yes.
I mean, life happens. We're allowed to have life happen to us.
Yes.
But we'll have more.
And I hope they really get something out of this episode.
For the next conversation, I'd love to hear about the new position. You know, how it's going.
Yes, we'll see how that goes.
Okay.
Thank you.
If you're struggling with mental health, we encourage you to seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider. Please do not disregard professional medical advice or delay seeking it because of something you have heard from this podcast. If you or someone you care for is in need of immediate assistance, please find treatment locators and helplines in your country of residence, such as 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline in the United States, and Lifeline or Beyond Blue in Australia. Thank you so much for listening.
If you would like to get in touch with us, you can reach us through our socials and follow us. You'll find our handle in the episode description. Or if there's anything you'd like us to talk more about, you can email us through amiokemail@gmail.com. If you have friends or family who you think would be interested in what we share, please tell them about us. They can find our podcast in any directory they get their podcast from. And please go on and rate us. It will let people know about us and find us. Once again, thanks for listening. Cheers.